This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
Busy show, Glenn Least. I've got Gerald Celente from the Trends Journal. I got the mayor of Williams, John Moore. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. It's going to be a busy show. We've got a lot of ground to cover, including some news items. I'll start with that, plus some of your comments. I got some comments already out of, looks like Prescott Valley, looks like Chino Valley, a lot of overflow comments from throughout the week. And remember, you can get your comments in any time. Even if you're listening back to the podcast, don't hesitate to chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. You can leave your comments, 877-971-3971. You can also text that same number, text 877-971-3971. And I do have a busy show. We're going to talk with Gerald Celente, who is the publisher of the Trends Journal. Always enjoy hearing from him. And he has a weekly publication that comes out, over 100 plus pages. He's going to fill us in on a lot of information, so stick around for Gerald Celente. We've got Glenn Least from WT Wealth Management coming up. He's going to give us a market update, financial update. I think there's some labor numbers that came out today. And also, we're going to hear from Mayor of Williams, Mayor John Moore. Big development out there. There's also the Vietnam Moving Wall Memorial. Hope I got that right. It's a Vietnam memorial that's mobile, that's making its way around the country. And right now, it's in Williams. I think it's in Williams throughout the weekend. So I hope you have a chance to get out there and see it. And he will fill us in. John Moore will fill us in on that and some other things as well. Big development out there, possibly a theme park. So we'll get all the details. But let's start off with a couple of news items and then get to some comments. I guess the mass vaccination sites around Arizona are going to be closing down. These are those big sites that popped up throughout the state, like at, I think, was it NAU had one, U of A, ASU. There was quite a few around the state where they had, and there's like hundreds of stations set up and people could just go in there and get vaccinated. Well, it's really winding down as far as the amount of people, I guess, that are going through there, and they're going to discontinue these sites or start phasing them out. And June 28th is the shutdown date that's scheduled. Something like 1.6 million doses has been given at these huge sites. And Arizona Department of Health Services says that June 5th, Saturday, is going to be the last day you can go and you can get your first and then come back to these mass sites to get the second shot, the follow-up shot. And if you don't do that, then they have a list of other places you can go to. There's still going to be plenty of places to go. These sites are all over the place now, much smaller places are offering the vaccination. So anyway, that's winding down, which I guess is a good sign that hopefully, knock on wood, COVID is winding down. The madness, the hysteria. I mean, I hope this stuff is winding down. We shall see. Race-based food delivery. Yeah, that's illegal. I mean, really? Didn't we know this? This is from the Arizona Republic. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. By the way, I reached out to him this week, and then I didn't really follow up. We'll work on getting Attorney General Brnovich back on the program maybe next week, and he's a pretty frequent guest. He had a big issue with the Google privacy issues as well. I think I've got an article on that we'll get to. But anyway, Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, he announced on June 2nd that Uber Eats, have you ever done that? I've never had like the food delivered. Well, I've had food delivered to my house. I guess I've had a pizza delivered, although that's been a while too. But Uber Eats and Postmates and DoorDash, you know, you get basically food pickup from many places, and they charge extra. But anyway, they can no longer ditch delivery fees for black-owned restaurants based on race, claiming it discriminates against non-black-owned restaurants. So in June of 2020, Uber Eats and Postmates, which is owned by Uber, announced they were waiving delivery fees from black-owned restaurants in the United States and Canada. DoorDash then followed suit, and the companies created a category on their apps, landing pages featuring black-owned restaurants so customers could more easily find them. So here's what Attorney General Brnovich wrote, because he's saying this is illegal. Even, quote, even with the best of intentions, corporations can do the wrong thing. Altering the price of goods and services based on race is illegal, said Attorney General Mark Brnovich in a press release. Yeah. And I'll put this on the list when we talk to him, because it just seems like that would be common sense. But nowadays, everything is about race, I guess, in our country. That's illegal to do that. All right, let's get to some comments. We have a comment here from, let me get it loaded up here. These comments came in on our overflow line, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. I think the first one is actually Maury, from Prescott Valley.
Yeah, it's probably because I've been out in the sun for 8 hours. When you were talking about calling cinema, to keep the filibuster or to get rid of the filibuster, you were talking under fire, or you were tying the two together, and I couldn't really discern what was the best thing there, the way you were explaining it. Maybe, again, it's just my brain was fried. But so if we call her, do we want to keep the filibuster or get rid of the filibuster? Don't tie the two together. And then if you have a phone number for her, that would be great.
Yeah, I actually do. Maury, thank you. I know what it's like when you work outside all day, and my brain is fried most of the time. So who knows what I said yesterday, Maury? I may have said both. I may have contradicted myself, but no, I hear you. So here, let me back up, and I hope you're listening today, Maury. I have Cinema's number here, at least one of them. But what I was saying in the beginning of yesterday's show, I believe it was, sometimes the days just bleed together, I was telling everyone that the pressure on Senator Cinema and Senator Manchin of West Virginia is enormous from the left to end the filibuster. So the left, folks like Ocasio-Cortez, would love the Senate to end the filibuster, which right now with the filibuster, they need the three quarters of, or actually, I'm sorry, they need 60 votes to move something forward. And, you know, there's 100 senators. So the filibuster makes it so that major things like, let's say, the Green New Deal and certain items like that, can gun control, for example, can't get through the Senate without certain procedures and the filibuster procedure. They need 60 votes to get it through. And as you know, it's a 50 to 50 Senate, but then they have the vice president as the tiebreaker. So right now, if the Democrats end the filibuster, and I should bring someone back who's a far more expert than I am on this, but this is the 30,000 foot answer here. If they end the filibuster, they can get anything through with 51 votes, simple majority. They'll bring in Vice President Kamala Harris, and they could take away AR-15s. They could do the Green New Deal. You name it. All the things. HR1, which is the nationalization of our elections, taking away states' rights, 51 votes. So we do not, or I don't know what you want. I mean, everybody's got to make up their own mind. I do not want the Senate to end the filibuster. So if you want the Democrats to be able to get things through with a simple majority vote 51, versus right now it takes 60, which has been this way has been done for a very, very, very long time. And the Republicans were tempted to get rid of the filibuster when they had a slim majority. There's always the temptation, but nobody has done it, at least in my knowledge and my understanding, for a very, very long, we're talking decades, if not way back into the 1800s. I'll have to research that more, but it's been a very long time. So right now there is protection, or else we would have the Green New Deal and other stuff if they got rid of the filibuster. So I do not want the Senate to get rid of the filibuster. And Senator Sinema is holding her ground as one of two Democrats stopping the filibuster from being taken away. Even President Biden took a snipe at her, and she's getting hit by the left like you couldn't imagine. So if you want the filibuster to remain so they can't get their radical agendas through, that we want, then you want to contact your senator, in this case, Senator Sinema. I think Kelly's useless to even try, but contact Senator Sinema to say, hey, keep the filibuster. Keep the filibuster. And her DC number is 202-224-4521. 202-224-4521. And you can always Google Senator Sinema contact info. There's Phoenix office, there's email and all that. So I hope that explains it good. And thank you for that call. Really appreciate it. All right, let's do another one. What do we have up next? I don't think we have a name on this one. Remember, you can comment anytime. Please try to remember to leave your name and city. I think this one is from Chino Valley, 877-971-3971.
I'm in Chino Valley, and all the development, blah, blah, blah. But they talk about how they drain Watson Lake and Willow Lake and replenish the aquifer. Okay, let me just say this. An evaporation pond doesn't add anything to the aquifer. It's like sitting on the side of a Olympic swimming pool with a thimble, and you're just pouring that thimble full of water in it. It just, I mean, don't make no sense, and they take so much credit for how they're putting water back into it. It's just kind of, that's kind of silly. I love the show.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. Water's a huge issue, and I'm glad this is timely that this came in, because one of the questions that I'm going to have for Mayor John Moore regarding development in Williams, because Williams has had some of the same issues and not too far from Chino Valley, obviously, especially when it comes to water. It's probably the same water table, I would imagine. I don't know a lot about the aquifer there. But yeah, recharging that. And we're seeing in California, we're seeing Colorado, there's water agreements. So there's agreements here in Arizona where it has to be cut back, how much can be drawn on. Anyway, my point being, water is a huge challenge going forward. Now, I was pretty involved with water issues. I served on the council, the Flagstaff City Council, for one term, and water was something I was really focused on. And I hear what you're saying about, okay, they it sounds like they're recharging a lake. Maybe it's with reclaimed water. I don't know, but I know in Flagstaff, the reclaimed water from the treatment plants, so you're talking the water, the sewage water gets treated, and then it does infiltrate back into the aquifer. But it's not going to be the same. And surface water in Arizona really evaporates. Lake Mary, for example, which is a reservoir for the city of Flagstaff, they had an attitude of start sucking up that water in the springtime and early summer, because it evaporates. The amount of water that's lost through evaporation, especially, you know, here in Arizona, is huge. So yeah, water is going to be a huge issue. Thank you for bringing that up. I will ask Mayor Moore about the water issues with development coming up in Williams. All right, folks, if you're just joining us, going through some comments, and I've got Mayor Moore coming up, like I just said, and I've also got Gerald Salente coming up from the Trends Journal, and Glenn Least and John Heilner from WT Wealth Management. We're going to go over some market items. Let's hit the text messages, 877-971-3971. This is from yesterday's show. I was talking with Mark Howitt about the lumber prices. It seems the lumber mills are the ones making the money, because raw lumber, the harvested tree, prices are at all-time lows, while finished lumber prices are at all-time highs. Explanation, but yeah, what the heck's going on? And Mark brought this up yesterday. The price of lumber, my dad texted me this morning. He was checking out some lumber prices. Let me pull this up. He said that OSB was, Mark's at $72. I don't know what Mark's buying. He may be buying like 3/4 inch plywood or something, but he said 70 something. But still, this is crazy. My dad texted the price this morning was around $54 for a sheet of half inch OSB. It's just to keep in mind, this was $12 or $15 one year ago. That is a crazy increase. So much so that it's adding $36,000+ to the cost of lumber prices for a new house, just in those prices alone. And he said a 2x4 is around $825. A 2x4. My son and I were going through I always have like kind of the discard wood pile that I save the old 2x4 that you can trim down later and this and that. And I'm getting through that stuff pretty quick because I'm starting to use the scrap up and like this stuff's got some value here. But anyway, yeah, I think you're right with this text message, because I looked up the raw lumber issue. So the trees, and there's an article here from the Concord Monitor, concordmonitor.com. When was this? This was back maybe a month ago, so not too long ago. Spike in lumber prices hasn't translated much into higher timber value, at least not yet, according to this article. with lumber prices going through the roof from demand driven by pandemic changes. Okay, I don't know what that means. It seems like forest-filled New Hampshire should be reaping a windfall, but issues from the global supply chain to manpower limits to tree species, et cetera, has been spotty at best. Quote, not much of this has translated back to stumpage or standing timber. We've seen some slight increases, but haven't seen the type of price growth that lumber has seen. And so the prices for the raw lumber, for the tree, for example, like this text message came in about, haven't gone up very much. Yet the price of a 2x4, according to my dad, $825 for a 2x4. So $8+ for a 2x4, where it was a little over $2 a year ago. So that's increased dramatically in 1 year. That's not translating to these lumber prices. And what Mark was talking about yesterday was the fact that the Biden administration now wants to add a tariff to imported lumber from Canada. There's a claim that Canada is dumping the lumber onto the U.S. Now, I'm not sure if they're talking about, well, this would be something we'll have to follow up on more. Are they talking about milled lumber? Or are they talking about the timber here? Now, if it's the timber, that's not getting much of a price increase. Okay, is there a dumping issue there? But if they're shipping down 2x4s and sheets of OSB and this and that from Canada, which is what I suspect, we certainly could use some 2x4s here in the United States to help drive down the cost of the materials. And Mark equated it to, and the show's up there, you can check it out at talkwithjeff.com. He equated it to protectionism. So if you're a mill right now, I guess you're doing pretty damn good. If you're buying the lumber, the round tree from the forest at really low prices, and you're able to make the 2x4s and sell them for $8.25 versus $2.25 just a year ago, well, life is pretty good. I guess you'd want to protect that industry as well. But for us, regular folks that have to put together the 2x4s and go buy the 2x4s and try to build a house and try to make something that we can live in, it's not a good day. So anyway, thanks for that text. Appreciate it. 877-971-3971. I'll look into a little bit more, see what's coming from Canada. If they're talking about the raw tree, just the lumber, or talking about finished milled product. It's a good thought. All right, let's do this. We're going to come back with the mayor of Williams, Mayor John Moore. Memorial out there, Vietnam Memorial going on, and I hope you have a chance to go out there this weekend. Plus, big development potentially coming up. Also, we've got the publisher of the Trends Journal coming up, Gerald Salente, and Glenn Lease and John Heilner from WT Wealth Management. Folks, don't go anywhere. Hang tight. Back in a minute. All right, welcome back. Keep those comments coming. Love to hear from you. I'll get to some of your text and the Just Wireless listener line comments, 877-971-3971. You may have some comments from my next guest, the mayor of Williams, Mayor John Moore. Welcome back to the program. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you this afternoon?
Busy day. I know this morning you were at the moving wall opening, I guess you'd say. I mean, tell us about that. You spoke at the event, and tell us what's going on there in Williams with it.
The Vietnam Traveling Memorial Wall came to Williams yesterday. We actually opened the wall this morning at 10 o'clock. My job was to welcome the guests, which was a huge turnout.
Good.
This wall will be in place from now till Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We have tour guides for the wall. They'll show you through the wall, tell you if you're looking for special names. Anybody that hadn't had the opportunity to see the wall should come and see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've been back to D.C. plenty of times, too. And that's always one of the most visited and really you stand there and look at all the names on the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. And it's something else to contemplate and think about.
You know, 58,250 some people killed in the Vietnam War. They call it the healing wall. I guess it does heal, but it also makes you sad and respectful of the people that have gave all to protect our American country.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so through Sunday, so anyone can go out to Williams, Mayor, and you should get out there, folks. And John, it's been busy as far as I talk about this every time you come on. Williams has been hopping. I know you get lots of people visiting there all the time, but you had a pretty big, I guess, announcement this week as far as a future development there in Williams. And I was talking about it on the program the other day, up to maybe 1,000 homes, but then possibly a theme park. Why don't you break down what's going on potentially coming up here down the line?
Well, of course, at this point in time, we only have the plans for the development. We have not sat down with the developers and worked on any kind of development agreement. I'm sure that it's going to be a controversial event in Williams. Some people are for that type of growth. Some are not. There's going to be questions. Do you have water? Don't you have water? How do we provide the different police protection, fire protection? How much infrastructure will we have to help add? How much will the developer? Usual things when you have a development.
Yeah, and you've seen this being mayor of Williams for a while. You've seen all of this. But I found it interesting, though, because the area is growing tremendously, and this was something like 1,000 homes potentially over like 15 years. But then there was some kind of potential theme park, Jackalope Junction or something. And any clarity on what – I've heard for a long time there's going to be a theme park in Williams. I think you and I maybe talked about it many, many years ago, but nothing's ever really come of it. You think this will be the one?
Well, I don't know that theme park's the right term for it. The original theme park legislation allowed for the theme park to charge extra taxes to retire their bonds that they issued to build the park. This will be, if it happens, done on the individual's own money. There is a theme park district still there. I don't even know if a theme park's the right term we should be using. It's an attraction that they have planned.
Sure.
Basically, what I've seen of it and heard of it, and maybe I haven't heard any more than anyone else, but it's going to be an event that families go and visit, and they show the – it's a walk-through park that they show the types of things that happened in America, the growth of America. Understand it kind of starts with the mountain and it goes up through the current day. Don't really know a whole lot more than that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens there. How's the water? I had someone ask a question in general. I mean, we see just Arizona and the Southwest in general, and California's getting hit hard. You look at some of their water levels right now. I know you had some challenges in Williams, like many places in the past. Is that still an ongoing issue, or you guys lock that up? Talk about that.
I think water is always going to be an issue in the Southwest. We know it is. You know, the more people we have come to the Southwest, the more water we use. But it's not only the Southwest. It's throughout the country now, even in the Midwest where the farms are and stuff. They have some water problems with the chemicals from the crops getting in the water. Yeah. We need to start thinking about preserving our water and taking better care of it. Williams, for now, we're in good shape with water. We've drilled some wells. We've got wells operating. But who knows what's going to happen with water? We have to always be conservative with it and act like we're always going to run out.
Let me switch hats, or have you switch hats, because folks are talking with Mayor John Moore of Williams, and he's also running for the Republican nomination for Congressional District 1. So put on another hat here, John. On the subject of water, because you're running for Congress, so I saw there were some studies that were being done to take some water from like the Mississippi River or something like that and basically getting it out west. Have you seen that? Is that even plausible?
It doesn't sound plausible to me, but when I was a youngster, it didn't sound plausible that we'd go to the moon either.
Yeah,
I think we can maybe do some things with water, and we definitely have a lot better technology. But I'm not so sure that it'd be easier to transport water to the people or transport people to the water. I think that's an issue, and those are issues that we're all going to have to look at and use common sense, you know.
Yeah.
I can sit here as a politician running for Congress and say this and say that, but the truth of the matter is I don't think any of us have the answer right now, and that's probably why we need to do studies and learn more about what we're talking about. I don't have the answer for that.
Yeah, I think that, and that's good to hear, because sometimes these politicians are like, I got the answer for everything, and that scares me a little bit. Mayor Moore, the big issue that came up that really wasn't, I don't know if this was on a lot of people's radar, and I've been talking about how we need to maybe get back to having a little more local supply of things and regional. You know, there's a lot of ranchers and ranches and cattle throughout northern Arizona. But, I mean, if you told me 3 weeks ago that our gas lines can be shut off because of ransomware, supposedly from Russia, who knows? We'll see. But now the cattle industry got the packing, the meat packing got hacked so they couldn't process the meat. I've been telling people, hey, try to figure a way to do things a little more local. Maybe we're a little too reliant on all those stuff.
You know, I have to agree with you too, Jeff. I think that, of course, you know, I'm in the restaurant business, and I've watched beef and steaks raise so expensive that I could hardly afford to sell them.
Yeah.
The hacking of the meat company, I think everything should be more regional. And I think when I'm elected to Congress, I will concentrate my efforts on Arizona in the district. We've got other problems throughout the country, but originally the concept of the Constitution was to elect people that could take care of things in their area and then carry it to Washington, D.C. as a group and function as a group that would help the whole country. So I agree. More stuff we can do locally or in Arizona, at least within a 4-state region, I think we're better off.
Yeah. And you're right there on Route 66 in Williams, your steakhouse, and good stuff there. But is it hard? Is it getting hard to get for you as a restaurant owner? Have you seen, because I've heard about, hey, you can't get chicken wings. It's getting trouble, hard to get this and that. Are you seeing that?
Well, I finally just took chicken wings off the menu because they got so expensive and got so hard to get.
Yeah.
I just took them off the menu for the time being. Sometimes steaks are a little tougher than others, but they have gotten more expensive, which requires sometimes to pass it on to the citizen, and then they got to pay more. And it's just,
yeah.
I think our economy, if we don't make some changes and look at what we got, quit spending and quit, get rid of some of this stimulus money and do the infrastructure plan, but do it properly. I mean, if you look up the definition of infrastructure, I'm 100% for the federal government helping that. But a lot of the things they got listed in the program is not even infrastructure.
Yeah.
So we need to look at those things and fix them. And we need to get the common sense candidate. You know, while I'm on that, Jeff, I'm one of the candidates for LD1. I have the experience. I've been mayor of Williams 16 years. I know what the people of District 1 want. I know what they need. I like to say I'm one of these people, and I have. I've worked with them. I've served on boards with them. I know where we're at. I know what we need.
All right, Mayor Moore, hey, I'll try to get out there, folks. Try to get out to Williams for the Vietnam Moving. Let me get the name right. Moving Memorial. Is that the proper name?
Vietnam Moving Memorial Wall.
Moving Memorial Wall, and that's through Sunday. And then I think next weekend, I think you got the car show happening. That's always classic car show.
Oh, gosh, we got everything happening. Williams next week, we got a car show.
Yeah.
Anticipate over 500 cars. It'll be a huge event.
Yeah.
The following week after that, we have the Cowpunchers Rodeo. You talk about our ranchers and stuff, the troubles they're having. Of course, we have kind of a drought issue right now, water's tough. That's one time in our district, in our area, the cowpunchers come together and do an event and celebrate their heritage, and that's a lot of fun, too. So
yeah.
We've got something going on almost every weekend in Williams, Arizona.
Good stuff. Get out there and enjoy it, folks. Mayor, we'll talk with you soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Folks,
have a good day.
Folks, hang tight. Back in a minute. All right, welcome back, and it is Friday, so let's look back at the market, talk some financial markets, talk the labor numbers that just came out. Joining me from WT Wealth Management is John Heilner and Glenn Least. Another busy week, guys. How you doing?
Good. Doing great. It's been a wonderful week. Thanks.
Yeah, it's well, let's start with those labor numbers. I hit on it a little bit, but they came out apparently a little lower than they thought, but I think they're, according to all the reports, expectations were lofty. What do you think when you see that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a mixed report in some ways. I mean, the unemployment rate did fall below 6%. We're at 5.8%, which is the lowest number since the start of the pandemic. You know, the economy added almost 560,000 jobs. And, you know, our position is once more states sort of embrace getting rid of the enhanced unemployment benefit, mm-hmm. that will continue to drive, you know, more people back into the workforce. And, you know, also when more people get vaccinated, because there's still, you know, the numbers are great, but they're not, you know, 100% of the population. So the combination of the two should continue to drive the unemployment numbers down, which is good news for all Americans.
Yeah. And Glenn, I'm still hearing from people, business owners, that it's still hard to hire people. And as John was just saying, hey, ending these extended benefits, which a lot of states are starting to do. I think Arizona's July 10th, that extra federal kick's going away. Nothing's changing in that regard. It's still tough to find people.
Yeah. And I think what happens is when you start to get low on funds, you start to get hungry, your motivation level gets a lot greater to go out and find that job. But if you're, you know, at home and you've got money and you're not in a super big rush to go out and find that new job, I don't think people are going to go out looking for it, which, you know, morally, is that the right thing to do? I don't know, but I think that's what we're seeing with human nature.
Yeah,
July comes out and people start running out of those stimulus checks and their unemployment benefits end and they start to dwindle their funds, I think we're going to see people start looking for work. And I mean, no one wants to work a 15-hour job. I mean, that's tough work. But when you need to put food on the table, you need to pay your bills, all of a sudden that starts looking a little bit more attractive. So I think come July and August, we'll see those things kind of work itself out.
What do you guys think about what happened? It was just a couple of weeks ago, we were all talking about the ransomware attack that happened with the oil or the gas line back east. I even had my brother-in-law from North Carolina who was looking for gas for a couple of days. Then this week we had the beef processor who I was kind of shocked to surprise what percentage of beef is processed by very few companies. What do you think going forward? And I saw Biden just put out something I actually agree with, which is everybody's got to get tougher on cybersecurity and strengthening their networks. How is that going to impact companies going forward? I mean, this could be a huge, huge expense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely, you know, will be. I think cybersecurity threats has been sort of downplayed in the last few years. And it's unfortunate that cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and other alternatives have sort of been the perfect vehicle for some of the offenders to, you know, demand their ransom being paid through because it's untraceable. But I think when you look at, you know, public transportation systems, you know, the airline industry, even something as innocent as, you know, Hilton or Marriott having their reservation system put at risk, that all of these companies are going to have to spend considerably more money than they have in the past to make sure that the integrity of their computer systems are protected. Sometimes it's not, you know, nefarious in the fact that it's going to cause harm and loss of life, but it's a major inconvenience if an entire system like Southwest Airlines or Marriott Hotels have their reservation system wiped out for a matter of 2 or 3 days. Just the chaos that would follow that would be, you know, unprecedented. So it will impact balance sheets a little bit. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and it could. I mean, the bottlenecks, they clear up, but God, if they had a big enough coordinated attack, you wonder what it could do as far as food supplies and energy supplies, things like that. Glenn, and Glenn Lisa's with me, John Hollander, WT Wealth Management. Because John just mentioned the cryptocurrencies, which I fundamentally believe in the concept that these guys are trying to do, which is decentralize with the cryptos. But we were talking about this earlier in the week. It used to be if you were doing like a, you know, the old movies, the heist, the ransom, whatever, there was a drop location where you had to physically like pick up the suitcase full of $100 bills or whatever. But now it's got to be almost impossible to trace. And I think that's where for all the good cryptocurrencies can be, the negative the government's going to run with now is we can't trace it because look at ransomware and there's no drop site.
Yeah, and that's a good question. I mean, you could make the same argument for paper currency, right? If they're unmarked bills and they're in non-sequential order, you can make the same argument like, hey, we need to do away with, paper currency because it can be abused, or we need to do away with cars because people can commit crimes in cars or drive too fast. And so I think that argument in itself, is definitely something to consider. Should we completely do away with cryptocurrencies based on that when there is a legitimate use for it? I don't necessarily think that's the answer, but it certainly raises some concerns of how do we, I think the better, thing to look at would be how do we strengthen our security systems? How do we strengthen our cybersecurity so that way these attacks don't happen?
Yeah.
So forced to go down that road of paying them off in cryptocurrencies and really having no way of finding out who these people are or having any kind of traceable method. So that would be my thought on it. I don't think that getting rid of these cryptocurrencies is the answer.
I don't think so either, but they'll use it as a tool to get rid of them or at least bring it under more government control and regulation,
sure.
I guess.
Possibility,
Definitely a possibility. I've been thinking on I know you guys are real busy, but if you listen to me throughout the week, I will have a host of people on that the world's about to end, to everything in between that, to everything is rosy and picking up. Bear market versus bull market. The dollar's going to collapse versus not going to collapse. I have thoughts that are random all over the place on that myself throughout any given week. I think we definitely have some real structural long-term problems. But then I look at the rest of the world and I try to figure out, where the heck else do you go? I'm not going over to, I thought Australia and New Zealand was like the rugged outback kind of countries to go to. They're still kind of locked down. Europe's a mess. China's up and coming, obviously, but do you want to live under communist China rule? I guess my question and my comment and just general spitballing here is, where, for all the problems we have here, and man, we have mountains of them, I'm not sure where else you go. That's going to be too much better. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, we've always felt that way at WT Wealth Management for a long time. I mean, the United States is really that shining light on the hill that I think Ronald Reagan originally referenced back into the 1980s. I mean, we have the best credit quality of virtually any country. We have the best Federal Reserve System. Our treasuries and long-term bonds are the gold standard for every developed country around the world to park assets. We have the most stringent requirements on the markets and the exchanges through the SEC, the most stringent accounting and reporting practices. So, while we might have our own, issues and hurdles, it's clearly the best financial market which to invest in. And, I think one of the things you referenced that we talked about yesterday on our investment committee call is that the average investor tends to be a pessimist almost all the time. But I pulled up some numbers that I think you'll find pretty interesting. And if you go back to 1990, which is 30 years, we've only had 6 negative years on the S&P 500 in the last 30 years. And that's, doing a little quick math, that's 20% of the time. So 4 out of 5 years, you're going to have a positive return with only 1 year being a drawdown return. And if you look since 2003, which is 17 years, we've only had 2 down years over that period of time. We had the 37% decline in 2008 and then a 2.5% decline in 2018. But the other 15 years over that period of time have been positive returns. So the U.S. equity markets are a fantastic place to invest if you have a time horizon greater than 5 years.
Well, I think that's the key, though, I would stress, is where are you at timing-wise? Because I don't know. It's like I always go back. I'm a big real estate guy, as you guys know, so I know that market very well. I would be, and I don't give any financial advice or housing advice, I'd be hesitant to buy a rental income-producing home right now in a lot of markets. But I'm in a different position. I've owned rental properties for a long time. But that would be a challenge for me. So I think timing is everything. Now, if you were to tell me I'm going to buy a rental property, I'm going to hold it for the next 30 years, that may be a different story because it may take a market could crash and it may take you 10 years to get back to your entry point.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, we sort of see the real estate market being influenced by a lot of Airbnbers and people, the VRBOers. There's a lot of, desirable resort communities, sometimes 40 or 50% of the homes being owned and that are being sold are done for short-term rental opportunities. And, you know, quite frankly, those are easier properties to work away from if you had a serious housing slump, because, you know, if they run into recessionary pressures, people aren't going to travel as much to resort communities.
That's true.
And as soon as those pieces of real estate go unrented, usually the person that owns it can't continue to carry it on their own, and then they sell it for less. And, you know, the poor guy next door that's actually living in his property sees his property value decline. But as you pointed out, you know, those tend to be short-lived. And when I say short-lived, it could be, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years before you have full recovery. But, you know, we really do a lot of education with our clients that if you're looking to come to the market for 2 or 3 years, that's really not the best place for your assets when your timeline is so short.
Yeah. And Glenn, speaking of Airbnb, I know you have that in your fund. I'm getting ready to Airbnb out of here next week. So, or the week after next week, sorry. As are many Americans. So I think it's going to be, and I'm taking a camper. We'll probably do some hotels and stuff on the way as well. But my point being, I think a lot of folks are taking off this summer. And what we saw last summer, if you're in the hotel restaurant industry or whatever, I think it's going to be a huge year, because you still really can't go to Europe. Maybe under certain conditions. You're not going to Asia. People are, and incomes are up, although a lot of it's been transfer payments, things like that. But personal incomes are way up. We saw those numbers this week. People are going to be hitting the road. It's going to be, I think, a boom summer for the tourism industry in the U.S.
I agree. And I think the pandemic year, a lot of people use the time to pay down credit card debts. In fact, I just listened to the Dave Ramsey show the other day, and they said credit card debt is at, you know, almost an all-time low for like the last, I think, 10 years. So Americans are paying off their debt and saving and getting better in that area. And now maybe they've got some extra cash and, you know, they're getting a little bit more tight with their budget and not, you know, paying so much out in interest and debt. And so they've got more money to spend, you know, and be able to spend it not on debt and spend it on vacation. So I think there's a lot of pent-up demand that people are wanting to go out and spend their money and enjoy and maybe take a whole year to save and pay off debt. And now it's time to get out there and have some fun. So yeah. It makes a lot of sense to me. And that's kind of what I did too. And I want to go out and have some fun. In fact, I'm going to go down to the Scottsdale area, you know, for a couple of days, do exactly that. Just get out of Dodge for a couple of days and relax and spend some time with the family at a resort. So it makes sense. I get it.
No, that's going to be a lot of that. All right, gentlemen, Glenn Least, John Hollner with WT Wealth Management. Hope you guys have a great weekend and we'll talk again real soon. Appreciate it.
Great. Good weekend, everybody. Thank you.
All right, that's it for this hour. Stick around, though. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we have the publisher of the Trends Journal, Gerald Celente, returning to the program. Always enjoy when he's on, and he's always got very strong opinions, so stick around. You're going to enjoy this. Plus, if you want to keep up with me, and if you've missed any of the programs, any of the interviews, go to talkwithjeff.com, click on how to listen, and click on subscribe. All right, folks, Fox News coming up top of the hour. Be back right at 5:06.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, let's get caught up with the publisher of the Trends Journal. Gerald Celente joins us. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back, and I'd love your comments. Get them in on the Just Wireless listener and text line. Leave your comments, 877-971-3971. You can also text, and I'll try to get to some of those comments here still today. If not, we'll get them on a future show. Text 877, same number, 877-971-3971. And I am happy to have back on the program the publisher of the Trends Journal. You can check it out. Weekly publication comes out, 100-plus pages covering trends and just about everything from national to international, all kinds of stuff. Check it out. Great magazine, trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. And Gerald Celente joins us. Had your rally this past weekend over Memorial Day weekend, Gerald, and I followed some of it on YouTube, Peace Rally, and I guess it went really well, huh?
Yeah, it did. You know, it rained for Friday, and it stopped raining Saturday, just about an hour before we began, and it was very cold out. But yet, you know, well over 300 people showed up.
Good.
And yeah, and we had it in the garden of in our behind the 1750s Franz Rogan House, and everybody was so great. I mean, the people were wonderful. We had terrific speakers: David Knight, Jen Van Water, a doctor, talking about, you know, the dangers of vaccinations, and Mark Crispin Miller, you know, also talking about, you know, this is the guy that was an NYU professor that they were going to fire.
Wow.
Because he was talking about, you know, the dangers of vaccines and the ineffectiveness of wearing masks. You're not allowed to say anything that the mainstream media and the politicians disagree with. And our rally was about uniting for freedom, peace, and justice. And that's the foundation of what we're doing. And we started a church. And the name of the church is the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice. Mm. They had elections in Madrid. And the woman that won, her name is Isabel Diaz Ayuso. Madrid, when she was mayor in Madrid, she refused to lock it down last year. And boy, did you know, the mainstream media and the establishment government went after her. They had an election, and she won big time for the whole region. And she had one word as her campaign slogan: freedom.
Yeah.
Last Saturday, there was a rally in London. Almost 1 million people turned out. It was hardly reported in the mainstream media. And when they did, the low-life pieces of scum, crap, these arrogant little boys and girls of the toilet paper of record, they call themselves the paper of record, the New York Times, and NBC, another clown network over there. You know what the headline was? Hundreds march in London. Hundreds.
Yeah.
Anybody could look up the video. We put the link in our Trends Journal. Hundreds of thousands. And under one word, freedom. And so we're starting a universal church of freedom, peace, and justice. So regardless of what religion you believe in, if your God believes in freedom, peace, and justice, then this is the religion of, in terms that we're trying to unite everybody. And this was the beginning of it. Now, our website right now is still the Occupy Peace website, so anybody wants to donate. But they're misusing the term, by the way, liberal. There are these liberals. They're not liberals, and they're not left-wingers. A liberal is willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own, open to new ideas. That is the definition. And they're arrogant little boys and girls that when you call them out to a fight for freedom, they back right down. So there is many more of us than them. Yeah, there may be then more of them in numbers, but they're not fighters. I estimate there are at least 40 to 50% of the people that want freedom. The other ones, they'll hail Hitler, march to Mussolini, salute to Stalin. They'll believe a little jerk like George W. Bush. And you got one after another. And Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner that took us to war against Libya and Syria. So we need freedom and peace to bring back this country, because they're stealing it from us right in front of our eyes.
Regarding the media, I mean, you've been hit. They've told you on YouTube, you've gotten strikes on there. Now, people like you and me and many others have been saying for a year about Fauci, about all these things. If you pointed out the inconsistencies, whether it be masks, whether it be get vaccinated, and a lot of people got vaccinated and then they still had to wear the mask. My point being, you point out the stuff you've been pointing out, I've been pointing it out, and they ban you. They don't want that different thought. They don't want the different opinion.
But
now all of a sudden we're learning, okay, maybe there is something with the Wuhan, the origins of COVID with Wuhan, with the email release, with the Freedom of Information Act.
We were the first magazine to call this a lot of baloney. Here's the this is the headline of our January 28th, 2020 Trends Journal. Remember, the virus breaks out on Happy Lunar New Year, Chinese Lunar New Year 2020. This is like a week and a half later. Mm-hmm. Here's our headline. Coronavirus, 106 dead in China. Our next line was 1.4 billion still alive. What are you telling me this stuff?
No.
1.6 million Chinese die every year from wearing from air pollution. That's why they wear those masks. Who would have ever thought we would have gone that low? So let's go back. I used to be on Hong Kong TV throughout 2019 when the riots and protests were breaking out across Hong Kong. They couldn't stop them. I get, you and I talk on the air, before we go on the air, and I talk to the guys, mm-hmm. the reporters, and they say, what's going on over there? Look, we're not stopping. We're not going to let these Chinese take over. They're going to rob us our freedom. We're going to keep fighting this. The virus breaks out, and they lock down Yuan province, and they start locking down a couple of other places, including Hong Kong, and that was the end of the protests that they couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Then they passed a security law. All gone. China's in full control. Oh, and by the way, the big companies in America, the BlackRock, the BlackRocks and the JP Morgan Chases and all, they're all moving into China to do big business with them.
Mm-hmm.
They could care less about freedom. Communist China. Could you imagine? When I was a kid, they had the Vietnam War going on. I was prime draft age. We got to stop them commies. Don't we got to stop them commies until you're doing business with them? Because it's only the bottom line. And that other lying, murderous piece of scum crap, Bill Clinton, you could thank him for that, bringing him into the World Trade Organization. And all of them, all of them. And now Vietnam War. Oh yeah, we're buying more products now from Vietnam just about any other country.
Manufacturers are moving over there because China's getting too expensive. I was in Vietnam maybe 10 years ago, and it was taken off then.
Yep, I was in Vietnam in 1996 when the first Americans when they allowed them back.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have demented, murderous, lying cowards. Freaks, fools, psychopaths, pathological liars running our government in a city, state, and country near you. This is global.
Gerald, and folks, Gerald Celente is with us, publisher of the Trends Journal, trendsjournal.com. And what, OccupyPeace.com? Is that the website as well?
Yes.
Okay, OccupyPeace.com. Yes. Gerald, I brought this up on the program on, I think it was Wednesday. And it was kind of stream of, sometimes when you're live, you have stream of thought and you just, and sometimes that can go either way. And I was talking about the meat packing, the hack, the ransomware issue that's going on. And I had no idea that the U.S. meat supply, at least on the processing side, is like 75% in three companies. I assume the other 25% is independent. I have some friends who are ranchers here in Arizona, but I was surprised at how consolidated it is. And I said, hey, we got to watch this stuff. I wasn't calling for the government to come in and break stuff up or anything like that, because that causes all kinds of other problems. But I kind of put the word out that as consumers, hey, maybe find your local butcher or a rancher, and there are ways to get meat, and that's not very much more, and it's probably better for you. Your thoughts, though, on how we've consolidated and the threats to national security, really?
Yeah, no, it's Smithfield. Smithfield, the pork people, right? You know who owns them? China.
Okay.
China owns it. Smithfield. They did away with the Robbins Department Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act. And these were the acts that they put in place that prohibited the bigs from becoming this big. And they did away with the Glass-Steagall Act. When I was a kid, they had, local banks all over the place. They didn't allow interstate banking.
Yeah.
That another low-life piece of scum crap who everybody loves, Jimmy Carter. Yeah, he did that one, and he did away with the usury laws. They couldn't charge you these kind of interest rates on credit cards. So they did away with all these laws because they're slimy, low-life pieces of crap. Morons and imbeciles call it campaign contributions. Adults call it bribes and payoffs. All these politicians, they never work a day in their life. They don't know what real money, you can buy them off for nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done. They've taken the freedom. No, you're talking about the butcher shops? That started dying in the 60s, 70s, when the bigs started getting bigger. And then they couldn't compete because the bigs will sell the stuff for a lot cheaper and we'll close down a little butcher shops and we'll take the business from them. And then when we get the business, we'll raise the prices. That's what they did.
I hope.
And now we have – it's consolidated in everything.
Yeah.
Because when they have all this cheap money, zero negative interest rate policy, you're looking at merger and acquisition activity skyrocketing. They just did away with the MGM Lion and they got that other freak in there instead of the Lion. Bezos bought MGM. How much more do people have to see? One more after another they're buying up. And all we are workers on the global plantation of Slavelandia. Every time I go into a big store, and when I was a kid, they had things called hardware stores. No, now we got Lowe's and the Home Depot. They had stationary stores. No, now we got Staples and Office. You know, when I go into these places, my heart breaks when I see the people working there because I know they have really no future and no life.
I hope there is somewhat of an awakening, though, and a couple things here real quick. I see the other countries that are still so locked down. Australia, New Zealand is a disaster. I used to think of Australia as the you remember Crocodile Dundee, the rugged outback. And I mean, they gave up their guns. They gave up everything. They have a few cases and it's, you know, they're locked down. So I started thinking, cause I think you've mentioned this before. You talked about in the past that, hey, I'm going to go to another country. I'm done. And then you're like, no, this is my country. I'm going to stay here and fight. But I still see hope here. Even though it's tough, and you and I talk about all the challenges here and all the things that are wrong, I can't pick another place right now that I'd say, I'm going to go there because that's, you know, the U.S. of the late 1800s or something. I don't see that anywhere.
No, it's true. And that, well, we have to fight for freedom. And that's why, look, I put my money where my heart and mind are. You know, it's not like I'm doing it. You know, it's a lot of work to run, put these rallies on. We're having another one, by the way, on the 4th of July.
Oh,
we had people coming from California, from Florida, from Michigan, from Ohio, from all over from the United States came to this rally. And we're having another one, and we're going to keep going with them. And we're going to keep fighting to unite because we could win. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. When the American Revolution began, what was it, like 3% of the people were for it?
Yeah.
Even at the height of it, less than that, about 50% of it, percent of the people were against it. So we could unite and win. We're fighting nobodies. Look at them. Who do you like the best? Mitch McConnell? No. Nancy Pelosi's my kind. Oh, how about little Lindsey Graham? No. I got Chucky Schumer over here. Look at the jerks running and ruining our lives. Look at the low-life Cuomo I got over here. Another daddy's boy born on third base and thought he had a home run. A little piece of scum over here. This little nothing of a boy over here in Jersey, Murphy. One after another. They got a clown up here in Connecticut. You know what his quote was the other day? I told people to stay home and be safe during the last year, but now I'm telling them to go out.
You can't make it up.
Hey, idiot. Hey, moron, did you look at the numbers? According to the numbers, the hard facts, your chances of getting the virus outside are the grand total of 1%. We did a big story in the Trends Journal. Even the CDC admits it. But they're liars. How about the clown woman running the CDC? Imminent doom.
Yeah.
Imminent doom. Remember? Imminent doom. How about stop selling this propaganda?
Yeah. It's time for people to come together. You've got OccupyPeace.com. Also, folks, you can subscribe to the Trends Journal, TrendsJournal.com. Gerald's doing his big event, celebration of our country's birth, correct? And hopefully
our
freedoms on July 4th. I think we'll talk again next month right after that. I wish I could get out there, but I'm avoiding the East Coast. I'm going to go up to Montana and check that out this summer. But it's, I know how hard it is to put on events. I've done plenty myself, and you had hundreds of folks there. According to, what was the New York Times, it would be like three people, but You had lots of folks there. So keep it up, because Gerald, I will say this, people have woken up in this country, and I think there's enough. Like you said, it doesn't take many. And I do this show every day, and people are awake to the situation. I just hope that it's not too late and we keep pushing, because it's not a good road if we continue on this. Gerald, I always appreciate your updates. Keep it up.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all that you do.
Your house needs Gutter Helmet. Installing over your existing gutters allows for water to flow freely. This is Jeff Orvitz for Gutter Helmet. For over 40 years, Gutter Helmet has been the proven solution to protect homeowners from dangerous ladders. Let Gutter Helmet protect you today and for years to come with their triple lifetime warranty. Seniors, military, and first responders get the biggest discounts. For a limited time, you can save up to 30%. Call Gutter Helmet today at 928-318-6555. All right, as we wrap up the week here, I've got some extra news items that I never got to today and throughout the week. Plus, keep your comments coming. I'll work them into the show here coming up on Monday's show or into next week, so you can get those in anytime. The Just Wireless listener line, text line, 877-971-3971. Coca-Cola's too woke. I actually like Coke. I just, whenever I see it for sale, I'm like, do I really want the Coke? Because they really go overboard. Washington Times article, and apparently in North Carolina, WX2 Channel 12, the NBC affiliate in Winston-Salem, the Surrey County Commission voted 3-2 to ban the machine, citing Atlanta-based Coca-Cola's denouncing of Georgia's voting law. Quote, the left wing in America, they defund, they boycott, they cancel, they tear down statues, all sorts of egregious actions, according to this quote. The expectations from them is that the opposing political side will cower in the corner, and we're supposed to accept that, and it's supposed to be okay, and it's not okay. The commissioners voted, like I said, 3-2 to ban the Coke machines in all the public buildings, I guess. So I don't know. What do you think? Should government be getting involved in that? Is he right? Hey, you know, we always sit back and say, hey, we're not going to do that, but they're always forcing stuff on us left and right. I don't know. Love your thoughts. Jobs numbers missed. We talked about this a bit with Glenn Leist and John Heilner from WT Wealth Management. The numbers are going up. But employers added 559,000 jobs in May. That's according to the Labor Department today. Missed the target of, and these targets are all over the map. It's kind of an average here. They were shooting for 650,000 jobs that they were surveyed that they thought was going to happen. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate, though, has declined 0.3 percentage points to 5.8%, the lowest since the pandemic caused businesses to shut their doors in March 2020. Yeah, I hate that wording. The pandemic did not cause the businesses to shut their doors. The government officials and bureaucrats, and if I were to channel Gerald Celente here, forced certain businesses to close. And you know, it's kind of like when Governor Ducey here in Arizona forced the tubing business to close. You couldn't do tubing rentals anymore. Has there ever been an explanation as to why? No, there was no science behind it. It was idiotic. Now we know that being outside was something like, you know, what was the quote? 1% chance of maybe getting COVID, but on a tube in the water? Yeah, right. Never. So it's, I just hate the wording when they say the coronavirus caused the closure. Well, it caused the closure of some businesses, yet some businesses stayed open the whole time and a lot of people were fine. I hate that. It bothers me. Watch your language. I mean, because you're saying stuff. No, it's the politicians. Speaking of Governor Ducey, Trump has hit Ducey. Quote, not physically. He's been attacking Ducey for quite a while. He attacked Attorney General Brnovich too recently. Quote, incredible to see that Rhino Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona just vetoed a bill that would have outlawed critical race theory training for state employees and another that would have banned the mailing of ballots to citizens who never requested them. He did this under the guise of passing a budget. That's a letter that was dated June 2nd from President Trump. For those of you who think Doug Ducey is good for Arizona, you are wrong. So the feud between Ducey and Trump continues. I got to be honest with you, though, when Trump was touring Arizona, Ducey would come along, or when Vice President Pence came to Flagstaff, Ducey would come along. And it was interesting because a lot of people booed Ducey. And a couple of people got kicked out of those events for booing Ducey. But I guess in the end, Governor or President, former President Trump is booing Ducey. He vetoed. So that was big news this week, or really the end of last week. Ducey went and did the nuclear option. I haven't heard of him doing anything else. I don't know if any more bills were transmitted to his desk, but he did the nuclear option. So 22 bills got vetoed late last week from Governor Ducey because the legislature is not in session. So the legislature, well, they're in session, but they went on recess. They had a budget impasse. They could not come up with a budget that all members agreed. None of the Democrats agree because they just want to spend a bunch more money. And the Republicans, some are saying, hey, you're spending too much, which I agree. I think that the budget increasing by about $1 billion every year for the past 3 years is too much. And then some were upset about the tax cut. They didn't like the tax cut that's being proposed. We actually had someone from Goldwater Institute on yesterday. If you missed that interview, talkwithjeff.com, explaining one of the nation's biggest tax cuts would be happening here in Arizona if they passed this budget and this proposal. So Ducey got upset because they didn't pass his budget. To which I say, so you veto a bunch of bills, including good bills, like President Trump just pointed out. You veto a bill banning critical race theory training for teachers. If you don't want to be involved with this crap, you wouldn't have to. You veto a lot of good bills along with this. It's just a temper tantrum. I say let the legislature do what they do, and a budget will get your way soon, Governor. Don't flip out. Don't just start randomly vetoing things and nuking things and saying, well, I told you I'd veto it. And, you know, it's no, the legislature will come up with a budget. And then you'll have, you can decide if you want to go along with that budget and sign it into law or not. But stop vetoing things randomly like that. You kill a lot of bills that take a lot of time to create. And granted, there might be some crappy bills in there that I agree with the veto, but do them on an individual basis. So in that, I agree with former President Trump. We talked this week about the Arizona governor's race expanding in Arizona. Carrie Lake announced, she's a former Fox 10 news anchor for a long time, and right following Carrie Lake, current Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, we knew she was going to announce, and she finally did for Democrat. And it is interesting because I have Arizona Republic open right now, and it, under the politics page every day, you see Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is running for Arizona governor. I guess that's the thing that gets pinned up there. The other ones have all disappeared, but I told you she'll be the media darling, and she'll be the front runner for the Democrats going into this election. Also on the Republican side, you have Republican Treasurer Kimberly Yee. She declared quite a while back. On the Democrat side, you have former Nogales Mayor Marco Lopez. In my opinion, the Republicans have a real name ID and challenge coming up in this election. So pay attention to that one. White House has warned companies to step up cybersecurity. Reuters, we can't do it alone. For once, I'm actually agreeing with the White House and President Biden on this one. I was talking about it yesterday. We need to get serious about cybersecurity. If somebody can come in and hack our meat supply or the processing plant that butchers the cattle, for example, that account for 20, 22% of the nation's meat, which was the case earlier this week, and slow down that process and threaten our food supply, yeah, we need to get serious about cybersecurity. It's also it happened in a ferry system, a car ferry system, or ferry systems underwater. Back east, it happened at a public school here, the Flagstaff Unified School District. What was that, a year or two ago? They were the victims of ransomware. It's happening everywhere. I wanted to share this earlier in the week. I think that this is an opportunity, and I mentioned this quite a bit, that I think we got to be starting to think about more smaller and regional companies that aren't as big and susceptible to some of this stuff. And it's not that I'm against big companies. I've mentioned this a couple times this week. It's that I think you can get spread out the chances of one company controlling maybe a quarter of the meat supply, for example, and then they get hacked and causing some real problems, potentially life, you know, food. You got to have food. You got to have fuel. Could cause serious problems. And I think there is some real opportunities for smaller companies going forward. Not that they can't get hacked. Anyone can get hacked or ransomware or whatever. But if you have a company that has 20, 50 employees or whatever, 10 employees, and you have a few computers, you can, I think you can easily get back on track a little more than these smaller companies can, or it's larger companies can. Just some food for thought. So I think there are golden opportunities there going forward. But I agree with the White House. It's time to get serious on this, and the government's not going to fix it. And so everybody's got to get more serious about cybersecurity. I want to get I've mentioned Attorney General Mark Brnovich a couple times on the program today. Google employees shared concerns over location tracking. This is an Arizona lawsuit brought by Attorney General Brnovich. Quote, Google's doing everything it can to spy on everyone it can, according to Brnovich on a Fox Business News article or appearance. I think we'll have him next week and we'll talk about this. It's an ongoing lawsuit against Google by Brnovich and his office, which alleges that the tech behemoth has continued to collect location information even when users had turned tracking off. Yes. Yeah, sounds about right. Has revealed that some of Google's own employees had concerns about the company's practices after a news report detailing the controversy was published. Quote, the reality is that the stuff we've uncovered is shocking, Attorney General Brnovich said in the Fox Business News appearance. It just confirms that Google is doing everything it can to spy on everyone it can without providing any sort of notice to anyone. I would assume that if you have a device, and I'm looking at my iPhone right here, and I can't, this is a different lawsuit, it has to do with Google, but there's Google Maps on here. I just assume that if I have this phone, you're being tracked. If it's there, somebody could probably hack into it and listen to it. I know it sounds conspiratorial, but this is stuff that's, if you brought this up a few years ago, your tinfoil hat, just assume that these devices know what you're doing everywhere you go, if you've got it with you. And more stuff's coming up on that. So if you don't want to be tracked, I don't know what to tell you. You get back to a rotary phone. I have no idea. Yeah, but Attorney General Brnovich going after that, I do appreciate his efforts in that regard, pushing on some of these lawsuits against these folks. Anyway, love your thoughts. You can chime in anytime. The Just Wireless listener line, the text line's open for you as well, 877-971-3971. All right, it's been a busy week. Hope you all get out there and do something fun for the weekend. In Williams, you've got the Vietnam Memorial Wall, the moving wall that they're moving around the country. And Mayor John Moore was on that issue earlier in the program. It's there right now, and it's there through Sunday. So that's a great idea out there. It just got some rain. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It like rained around my house. It was just kind of nice. We heard thunder, lightning. But then it didn't rain like I don't know, half mile down the road. So kind of weird. So maybe we'll start getting some of that moisture in kind of early for that. But keep the fires down. Have a good weekend. I'll be back Monday. Next week will be an extremely busy week. Our regular guests, as well as trying to get Attorney General Brnovich, will work on a DC update as well. We're still owed a visit, and my fault for not getting it scheduled for this week, but I will reach out to Senator Wendy Rogers, for example, and some other folks at the legislature. They're supposed to get back next week and work on the budget. Maybe the governor will stop vetoing things. So anyway, we'll catch you on Monday with all that, starting at 4:06 right here on 97.1. The Big Talker, and I hope that you'll go subscribe to the podcast. Go to talkwithjeff.com, click on how to listen, and your favorite podcast providers are on there. Please share the show, share the podcast, share the information. Go to talkwithjeff.com and have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you at Monday at 4:06 right here on 97.1 The Big Talker.